This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. It's 10 a.m. here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to our annual live show from Watkins Glen International, as we are in the second floor of the media center here at Watkins Glen on site for today's NASCAR Monster Energy Series Go Bowling at the Glen, the annual visit of the major series of NASCAR here to New York State, right in our backyard pretty much of Western New York, the 34th annual NASCAR event here at Watkins Glen International. We're coming to you live from today's event. Dave Buchanan here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks for listening, as always. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, got a jam-packed show whenever we do get to do these live shows from the Glen. And by the way, a big thank you to the engineering staff at Entercom Buffalo for making this happen today to allow me to come out and broadcast live from the Glen for the third straight year from the Cup race, and our fourth year in a row that we've done a show live from the Glen here, going back to the first one we did for the IndyCar event 4 years ago. So love this tradition we've put together, and we've got a jam-packed show coming up for you this morning on today's program. At the bottom of the hour, Corey LaJoie is going to join us. Corey drives the Go Fast Racing Ford number 32 car, and he's got a very special sponsorship or paint scheme this weekend at Watkins Glen. It's called Samaritan's Feet. It's a charity endeavor Corey has taken up. He's working for free this month, all to raise money for a great cause over the next few weeks. Samaritan's Feet, an organization founded in 2003 to provide shoes to children and individuals in need. So Corey is going to join us. We'll talk to Corey about what's going on his race car this weekend, how much money he's raised so far to date, and just talk about racing in the Monster Energy Cup Series. And, of course, Corey is the son of Randy LaJoie, the great old Busch Series, now Xfinity Series champion, and builder of race seats up there in New England still, the Joyous Seating, still doing great business over there for short track racers all over the country, building racing seats for them. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Right after that, we'll go talk to Matt Tift, Matt driving for Front Row Motorsports, of course. Matt will be in the Maui Jim sunglasses car today, for Front Row Motorsports, so we'll talk to Matt, and he's gone through a lot, had to deal with some a brain tumor a couple years back, but has gotten back behind the wheel and is driving for Front Row Motorsports in the 36th car today here at Watkins Glen. Coming up just after 11 o'clock, Dave Moody is going to join us from the Motor Racing Network. Of course, he'll be on the broadcast today. You'll hear the race live right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Coverage coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Green flag just after 3 o'clock today here from the Glen. And Moody will be, I believe, in the S's today. We'll find out for sure when we get him on the air. But we'll get a preview of today's race with Dave and talk a little bit about the MRN broadcast and everything going into that. And getting to work with his buddy Mike Bagley both last week and today with NBC, of course. The folks at NBC Sports with the television broadcast for today's race. And they're doing that radio-style broadcast where they put the different broadcasters throughout the layout of the facility, just like they do on radio, with Bagley will be in the S's. They've got Dale Jr. over by the Interloop, and Jeff Burton through the carousel, plus, of course, Rick Allen in the main press box. So there were some funny moments last week at Pocono as the folks from NBC were kind of capturing their announcers in action, including Mike Bagley, and Dave Moody was standing next to him. And there was a funny shot last week when an incident happened just in front of them, and both of them went scrambling to their talk buttons to get on the air when a crash happened in front of them last week. So we'll talk to Dave about that too, coming up at the bottom at just after 11 o'clock here this morning, 11:15. But he might be in a little bit early. Kind of left that free form out there. Whenever Dave wants to stop by, he'll join us early in the 11 o'clock hour. And our final guest will be at the bottom of the hour, 11:30. We'll hear from, hopefully, Nate Ryan from NBC Sports. Nate's got a busy morning, but he's going to try and check in with us at about 11:30 today. We'll get his thoughts, too, on today's race and everything going on in the world of NASCAR as he covers the sport for NBC Sports, along with the NASCAR and NBC podcast and all their great family of content that they do over at the NBC Sports Network, which, of course, will have today's television broadcast of the race today here at Watkins Glen International. And, of course, the goal bowling at the Glen and Chase Elliott, the defending race winner, of course, won his first career Cup Series race just 1 year ago at this event. He is on the pole today, and his car has passed pre-race inspection, so he's going to hold on to that qualifying position. In fact, the top 15 cars so far, they're all going through pre-race inspection as we speak. About half of the field is through tech, and we have not had anybody fail. So right now, your top 15 starters will be officially in their starting spots, and that includes Elliott on the pole. His Hendrick Motorsports teammate, William Byron, will be on the outside of row one. The Joe Gibbs teammates, Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr., will be in row two. Martin and Kyle, both former winners here at the Glen, and I'm thinking Martin might be the favorite here today in the Bass Pro Shops Toyota. Kyle Larson rolls off fifth today alongside Denny Hamlin in row three. Kurt Busch celebrating a birthday today. He turns 41 as the driver of the one car, and he starts seventh today alongside Jimmy Johnson. Eric Almirola and Brad Keselowski round out your top 10 starters this afternoon. Michael McDowell, a very impressive qualifying performance for him. He will start 11th today. Of course, Michael is a very accomplished road racing driver, always does well in the road racing event. He's done some kind of ringer work for the Xfinity Series teams throughout his career, and whenever the Cup Series comes to the road courses, you can always count on Michael to have a good run, and they're looking to possibly pull off a top 10 run today, maybe even a top 5 run for the Front Row Motorsports team in the 34 car. He'll be joined by Ricky Stenhouse in row 6. Clint Bowyer and Eric Jones are in row 7. Kevin Harvick starts 15th today. You've got Alex Bowman in 17th today. Ryan Blaney rolls off 19th. Joey Logano had a rough day here at Watkins Glen a year ago. He's a former winner here, but last year got some damage early in the race and only ran about, I think it was like a lap or two before he pulled out of the race. He will start 21st today in the money line Ford for Penske Racing alongside his teammate Paul Menard. You got Ryan Newman back in 25th. You've got Ryan Preece back in 29th with Bubba Wallace in the 30th spot. Corey LaJoie, he's going to join us. He starts 33rd today. Also, Matt Tifta, he will start 26th today in the 36th car for Front Row Motorsports. So let's look at some of the notable names in the field. And, man, just what a week, what a last few couple of days has been. So going back to Thursday, of course, the big news, I guess, in the Western New York and Southern Ontario racing communities is the fact that Stuart Friesen won his first career NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series event on Thursday night at the Eldora Speedway, and what a moment that was. If the Bills or Sabres never win a championship in my lifetime, I think maybe seeing Stuart win his first truck race, well, about as close as I come to that feeling, because that's how it felt. I was pretty elated to see Stuart take the Hallmark Chevrolet to Victory Lane at Eldora on Thursday night, as he and crew chief Tripp Bruce gambled on some strategy, never pitted, ran the whole race on one tank of fuel and the same set of tires, and won the Dirt Derby at Eldora on Thursday. And what an amazing run for Stewart, his first career Truck Series win after 6 second-place finishes and 62 career starts. Finally breaks through for the truck win, and more importantly for his sake, locks himself into the Truck Series playoffs with one more race to go in their regular season before the Truck Series postseason starts. And he needed this win with the list of drivers that were winning and getting into the playoffs. It was making it harder and harder to make the postseason on points. And with that win, he is now locked in to the Truck Series playoffs, which starts with the Bristol race for the Truck Series this year. Stuart Friesen will be in the Truck Series playoffs for a second season. Excuse me. And not surprising that the first win comes at Eldora, with Stuart, of course, being a dirt racing specialist that he is. For those of you not familiar with Stuart Friesen, the Friesen family, their involvement in local motorsports in Western New York and Southern Ontario dates back to the 50s and 60s with Stewart's grandfather, the late Stan Friesen. And he was a racer in Southern Ontario and Western New York with all the tracks in the area. And then he got into the ownership game first over at Merrittville and then over at the Ransomville Speedway, was owner of that facility. And then, of course, Stan's son, Alex, and who is Stuart's uncle, bought Lancaster Speedway in the late 80s, and Alex was buying up all these racetracks and was looking to possibly build this empire of short tracks in the Northeast until he was tragically killed in a snowmobile accident in 1996, which kind of changed the Friesen family plans when it came to the promotion side of things. They sold off pretty much everything except for Lancaster and Ransomville. The Friesens operated Lancaster till I think it was 2000, 2001, they sold that, and then Stan and Jamie, who is Stuart's father, and Joel, they ran Ransomville until they sold that to the Outlaw family in 2016. So their involvement in the local motorsports is very strong and have a great legacy here. And then, of course, all the Friesen boys, the third generation, Stuart, along with his cousins, James, Michael, and Curtis, all got into racing with go-karts, and especially over at Ransomville with go-karting into the Dirt Sportsman. And then Stuart kept progressing from the Sportsman to the Big Block Modifieds, and then that led him to basically becoming a full-time race car driver on the dirt circuit, running Big Block Modifieds all over the Northeast. Now he's situated out in the eastern end of New York State, based out of Sprakers, New York, where he runs a lot of the tracks out that way, like the Fonda Speedway and Orange County Fair Speedway. But through that, he got hooked up with the Hallmark Corporation, and that led them to setting up a truck ride for Stuart back in 2016. Started with the Eldora race, became a part-time thing, and then they went full-time racing in 2017 and in 2018. And here we are with Stuart picking up his first career Truck Series win on Thursday night. And it was such a great thing, as I said, coming so close to all second-place finishes. Just the last month that he's had, you go back to the race at Kentucky, NASCAR confiscates their primary truck during inspection, has to go to the backup truck, finishes second, and, you know, thinking like, all right, might be able to get in on points in the postseason after all. Then they go to Pocono, start third, and he wrecks the truck on the first turn of the first lap of the race and puts them in dire straits to make the postseason. I think they were maybe 13 points to the good going into the race at Eldora on Thursday night, and amazingly, Stuart pulls it out. I'll admit, I wasn't super confident he was going to win that one because Chase Briscoe's truck looked so strong, and Briscoe won the race the previous year, and that truck just looked really good. Plus, it was kind of a one-groove racetrack. If you weren't on the outside, you were in big trouble, and Stuart kept having to restart on the inside for a number of the cautions because there was quite a few on Thursday night. Luckily, things played out with the stages and all the cautions, and Chase Briscoe decided to pit at the end of the second stage. Stuart stayed out. He was up to second by that point, and that gave him the lead, and he was able to hang on, and kind of the fuel mileage concerns went out the window with the number of cautions in the race, especially towards the end there when everybody kind of got crazy. There was a lot of wrecks late in the race, and that really took the worry about fuel consumption for the 52 truck out of the picture, and Stuart was able to hang on to pick up the win on Thursday. And the fuel strategy game, it was very, very funny coincidence that Stuart kind of won this race on a fuel gamble, because for those of you that followed Stuart's modified career, his first win at the Moody Mile in Syracuse at Super Dirt Week was much of the same story. They gambled on fuel, and they got one of the longest fuel runs anybody had ever done at Syracuse in the 200-lap big block race there at the Syracuse Fairgrounds, and that got Stuart his first win at Syracuse in 2010. It was kind of the same story, so I thought that was a funny coincidence as things played out on Thursday night for Stuart Friesen as he was able to pick up the win there in the Truck Series. And which makes the story even better is Stuart's going to be back in town tomorrow night and Tuesday night, because the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds are headed right to, of course, their usual Merrittville-Ransomville doubleheader kickoff week here to start the month of August. They'll be at the Merrittville Speedway tomorrow night for a 100-lap feature, and then, of course, they'll be at the Ransomville Speedway on Tuesday for the Summer Nationals. That'll be 100 laps on Tuesday night for the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds, both $7,500 to win races. The Race of Champions Dirt Sportsman will also be in action Tuesday at Ransomville with the Big Block Modifieds. So Stuart will be able to come back home to the area that he grew up in, and especially the one racetrack that he grew up at, driving Packer trucks around the track and racing go-karts. And so he'll be here on Tuesday night. He is confirmed to be planning on competing on Tuesday with the rest of the stars of the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifying Series, guys like Billy Decker and Matt Shepard, and, of course, Matt Williamson and Eric Rudolph, who have been tearing up the dirt circuit as well here, both Friday nights at Ranceville and across the dirt circuit. And we got even a bigger bonus for those of you that are follow the World of Outlaw late models, Mike Marlar, who made his Truck Series and Super Dirt Car Series debut Thursday at Eldora, will actually be at Ransom. Will be at Merrittville and Ransomville Monday and Tuesday. Mike is going to be in the number three car for the Slack family, the 3RS car, and Mike Marlar is going to be at both Merrittville and Ransomville on Monday and Tuesday. So a couple of great shows and just great coincidence that Stewart wins his first truck rig Thursday, and then he'll be right here in town Monday and Tuesday night for a pair of races with the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds. 803-0551, 888-552-550, and throwing on the headset here from the Land of Legends Raceway at Canandaigua, Steven Ovens joins us. Steven,
wow.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I thought last night, I did all the victory lanes last night, and if you thought that hoofing it up the stairs to the tower was tough... I challenge anybody to come to Watkins Glen and hoof it from the Media 2 parking lot.
Oh, you didn't get the shuttle?
No,
oh.
No, missed the shuttle. So I said, I got an appointment with Dave. We need to hustle.
Oh, my bad, my friend. I didn't mean to make you have to run over here.
It was all good, man. This is what a day. What a perfect day. We had one just like this yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, whether it's NASCAR, short track, the racing is good right now.
Yeah, lots of great stuff going on in the local racing community. And you said it, though. The weather here today at Watkins Glen is phenomenal. It's been hot here the last couple of years. Today, not so much. It's around, I don't know, low 80s. Doesn't seem to be super humid today.
No.
It's actually a great day to be at the races.
It really is. And I was just talking with the security folks outside. And, you know, that's the thing is it is warm. It's going to be in the low 80s. But the big thing that we've been having here in the Northeast is that humidity. It's
yeah.
just been brutal. I mean, it hits you right in the face. But today, what a drive-in. Couldn't ask for a better, you know, picturesque place to have a race. And, you know, I know that you know this from the weekend, whether it was Friday night, Saturday night, today. Like I said, man, the racing has just been so good. And honestly, it's a privilege to get to come out here and talk to you and all of your listeners about it. Because if you haven't been to a racetrack, short track, NASCAR, I don't care, you got to get out there, man. I mean, last night we had a perfect example of that. Guy that you know real well, Eric Rudolph,
mm-hmm.
a absolute thriller, beating Matt Shepard, who is on top of his game right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't say that to say that Eric Rudolph is not, because he's had a heck of a year and a heck of a week.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he's had a nice run the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, just phenomenal. Those guys... You know, you think about it, any dirt track you go to, 35-lap race, a lot of time to get it done. And at the end of a 35-lap race, it all comes down to the last two laps were
mm-hmm.
the ones that really made the difference. And Rudolph won a thriller last night, and I'm sure we're going to see much of the same today with the Go Bowling at the Glen. It's going to be awesome.
Now, you're here with Land of Legends Raceway, but you write for a publication, too.
I do. I write for the Morning Times in Sayre, PA,
there
which
we go.
Is about a half hour, 40 minutes from here.
Stayed there last night.
Oh, did you? There you go. Very good.
That's become my little tradition. Chemung with
oh,
the Race
yes.
of Champions on Saturday. Lovely hotels in Sayre, Pennsylvania. And then,
right off the highway.
Yep, and then
yep.
Come back up north here to Watkins Glen Sunday morning.
Absolutely. So, yeah, a little shout out to my friends, my editor out at the Morning Times. I appreciate their, you know, we do a weekly motorsports article, which
mm-hmm.
I used to work in Sayre, and I used to read the paper when I worked down there. And, you know, the sports section, they had, you know, the standard Friday NASCAR run of,
yeah.
of articles and such. And I just, you know, I called them up one day and I said, you've got Chemung Speedrome right here. I mean, one of the great short tracks in the Southern Tier, in New York State for that matter. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no coverage, like not even, you know, taking the track's PR and kind of running it.
Sure.
So I said, man, let's do this. You know, let's get some motorsports coverage to the local area.
Yeah, I know. You got to kind of be that cheerleader for your sport.
Mm-hmm.
As much as media are not supposed to be a cheerleader, sometimes,
right.
especially in a smaller market, you got to kind of be that cheerleader and do what you can to just kind of promote your sport, because it helps you out in the end too.
I always say I don't root for drivers, I root for stories.
Exactly.
As
that's,
a media
that's
member.
Always the big thing.
I mean, that's the thing. So like last night as an example, you know, I'm an announcer at a dirt track,
mm-hmm.
but You know, I'm not rooting for Eric Rudolph to make the pass for the win. I'm not rooting for Matt Shepard to hold on for the win. I'm just rooting for a great story and something that's going to get me standing on my stool, screaming in the microphone, yep. Getting everybody else excited about it. And that's how I love to approach things. And when you approach things that way, I got to tell you, you never leave the racetrack disappointed.
No, having fun. That's the most important thing, especially when it comes to working short track racing. Stephen Ovens joins us from the Morning Times in Sarah, Pennsylvania, and the Land of Legends Raceway in Canandaigua. Let's talk about this race today, though, Stephen. You've got a lot of former winners here going to be starting at the front of the field, and I don't know if you've been paying attention, but so far everybody has passed Tech this morning.
Oh, that's good.
They're through the first 9 rows, according to the latest Twitter report, so all the front runners are going to start where they qualified. But, I mean, you got Chase Elliott up there, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin, guys that have won here before. If you look at yesterday's Xfinity Series race, I guess the only thing to expect today is the unexpected.
That's exactly it, because I'm sure everybody kind of counted their chickens before they hatched yesterday. And I will say, listening on the radio, I was one of them. I mean, it just seemed like it was going to be that Kyle Busch kind of day where, you know, he's out logging laps, doing great things for his sponsors and his team. Mm. But that's the unexpected. And that's the beautiful part about our sport, is you can be on top of your game. You can be running for one of the greatest teams in the sport. Mm. But there's still that mechanical element, that unknown. You know, are the parts and pieces going to hold up? Are you going to miss a corner and that make the difference in your entire day? We're talking about Kyle Busch, but, you talk about a guy like Tyler Reddick. He had a rough day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, right from the get-go.
And that's a guy who up to yesterday had been one of the big three in that series, you would say. So that's the beautiful thing, and that's one of the beautiful things about road course racing is you truly – how many times have we sat in the media center watching a race unfold, and then all of a sudden, boom, something happens, an untimely yellow, somebody runs off the track, car spitting oil, and making things real – it's just – there's so many things that can happen in one of these races. In 90 laps around a 2.5-mile road course, boy, it's a long way.
And for those of you that didn't hear about the Xfinity race, Austin Cindric got the win yesterday for his first career Xfinity Series win, holding off A.J. Allmendinger, who made his second start for Colic Racing. And unfortunately for A.J., and kind of coincidentally, the Allmendinger car failed post-race inspection. Second time he's done that this year, but he got disqualified from finishing second. So Christopher Bell got credited with second over Justin Allgaier, Ryan Blaney, and the aforementioned Tyler Reddick. He did rally to have a fifth-place finish yesterday. But that was a wild one yesterday in the Xfinity Series. This Cup race today, though, with all of that said, still got to try and pick a winner, though. I'm leaning on the 19 car today for Truex. He's so strong at both road courses, and he's my favorite for today. How about you?
Well, that's a great pick, and that's probably the way I would have leaned. But
I jumped in there. I know you did.
But that being said, I'm gonna look toward Chase Elliott today.
Sure.
He's qualified for the pole. He got his first win here last year, and I think that a guy like Chase Elliott walks into today saying, we've got to have, no matter how the season's gone, no matter how last week went, we've got to have a ton of confidence coming here, because the last time we raced here, we won.
Yep.
And, so I think there's something to be said for that. William Byron has been good on, some of his Hendrick teammates have been good on the road courses, but Chase Elliott just seems to have Watkins Glen figured out. So I hate to take the guy that starts on the pole,
but
hey, you got Truex, I'm going to go Chase Elliott.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a wild one with all the big names starting up front. What's amazing about this facility is where it's come from. Growing up 20 years ago, I went to the year, I think 96 was the first time I came out here. I didn't come out here a lot, but I did a few times growing up. The first one was like 96. And in that time, every year, kind of around the Cup weekend, as you were waiting to hear the announcement that they were coming back the following year, because there was that big question mark. And I've had it, unreliable sources, had a track near New York City gotten a NASCAR, if they'd gotten a track in New York City built, this place wouldn't be holding this Cup weekend still. So there in the 20 years ago, you were wondering, is Watkins Glen going to date the following year? Mm-hmm. Fast forward 20 years, this place is like the, I can't even think of the word for it, but the industry holds this place up now in such a high standard because of the great racing it puts on, because of the great camping, and the camping aspect with this sport has taken off so much in probably the last decade, the memorable finishes. This Watkins Glen's now one of the biggest facilities in the sport. It's amazing how the reputation here has changed like that. Not that the racing was bad here at Watkins Glen, but it was kind of a niche thing because it was road racing, and NASCAR drivers 20, 30 years ago didn't know much about road racing, so you'd have, you know, your road course ringers, but now everybody's prepared, everybody likes coming here, and this is one of those popular circuits on the track now, or on the schedule now.
I when I look back at it, I think my first race here was the year that Steve Park won. Mm. That was my first venture here at the Glen. But before that, it's crazy to look at how things sit today and how high this track is regarded. And thinking back to the mid to late 80s when it took a company called Corning Incorporated to save this place, you know, because mm-hmm. they came in and were part owners. That kind of kept and brought the Cup Series up here, and to look at even the first year that I came here when Steve Park won, you know, you could drive anywhere you want. We always parked in Turn 11, right? Yeah. There was a tree right by the bridge. Yeah. We parked right there. We'd watch him come hauling off of Turn 11, and it just was one of those things that it was popular around here, but it needed, I don't know what that X factor was, but it needed something. And yep. then all of a sudden, things just started taking off and the great finishes. And you know, we can talk about camping. We can talk about all the amenities. But if the racing action, it all comes back to the racing. Sure. If the racing is good, the people will support it. And, man, have they supported it here at Watkins Glen. And you hit the nail on the head, man. To look back at the first time you or I came here to what it is now, I don't think, you know, as a young kid back then, I don't think you could have imagined how big this thing would have become and is one of the hot spots on the schedule.
I saw Michael Print up this morning. He had a big smile on his face. He's very happy about how things are turning out. Great weather. Unfortunately, I don't think they've announced a sellout, but, you know, there's still that walk-up crowd. Either way, it's still going to be a ton of people here, whether it's the Reserve or the General Admission in the campgrounds, of course. Steven Ovens from the Land of Legend Raceway in Canandaigua. They race Saturday nights, by the way, if you ever want to head out there. I announced there once. Beautiful facility. I worked there one night during the Corcoran era, filled in for Shane one night. So if you ever want to head out to a track on a Saturday night, I recommend going over to Land of Legend Raceway in Canandaigua. They've got the big block modifieds every Saturday. We'll have them, of course, at Ransomville on Tuesday night for the Summer Nationals. But, Steven, thank you so much. I'm sorry for making you hustle.
No, man.
To be here.
I there was a reason I was hustling, man, because I appreciate the opportunity, and it's so great to get to talk to, you know, one of my media brethren, we'll say.
All right, Steven, thank you so much for the time. Steven Ovens from Land of Legends Raceway in Canandaigua and the Morning Times in Sayre, PA. We come back. Corey LaJoy is going to join us next here on Fast Track, live from Watkins Glen on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
10:31 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track live from Watkins Glen International, site of today's Go Bowling at the Glen. And joining us now here up in here in the media center, he drives the Go Fast number 32 Ford Mustang. He starts 33rd today in the Samaritan's Feet Ford here at Watkins Glen. Corey LaJoy joins us. Corey, good morning. Thanks for taking some time to talk to us this morning.
Yeah, man, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
It has been a very busy weekend for you. You are making a lot of great news, great buzz surrounding you and the Go Fast team this weekend because of the fact that you're working for free today.
Yeah, I'm working for free for the next 3 weeks, too, because I get paid monthly. So, long story short to this, I went to the team. We were looking for a sponsor for Watkins Glen, and we were having a hard time finding one, and I had this dream about the Samaritan's Feet car. That's a charity that I've been working with for a couple months now, and I felt called to see if the team would take 1 month of my salary, which doesn't cover the entire race cost, so the team sacrificed a lot. But so we locked that in, made it work, and then Kelly and I were sitting at breakfast last Monday, or this Monday, and we were trying to figure out how to best push this thing. And she had the idea of anybody who donates to our fundraising page through Samaritan's Feet gets their name, will personally write their name on the car.
Yeah.
I figured we'd have, you know, 20 grand. I figured we were going to, that was the goal, 20 grand
sure.
originally. And 1,643 names later and $110,930 to, dude, unreal. It's unreal.
Yeah, it's amazing. You said 20,000 and I mean, well, Ilsa Earnhardt alone, she donated, or Dale, $5,400 from the Earnhardt family, of course. But
yeah, so I built a seat for Dale Jr. He's refurbishing one of his old man's cars from the late 80s, Nova. So he asked me to build him a seat because I guess he considers me the seat man because my dad, that's my dad's company.
One of the best in the business.
So I built this old time. It's a Ford Econoline seat with an aluminum side on it. I made it look exactly the same way as it does in pictures. And I never told him what I was going to charge him for it. And it was kind of perfect timing when I got it done and when he was kind of asking when I was going to drop it off. And I was like, hey, man, whatever this thing's worth to you, just give it to this cause that I'm doing. So, you know, $5,400 would have felt good in my pocket, but I can promise you it's going to feel better on the feet of all those kids that are going to have shoes for the first time. Yeah. So that's going to go way further than I can ever do it, for sure.
Tell us more. You told us how you're raising the money, but exactly what does Samaritan's Feet do for people around the world?
So Samaritan's Feet is a Christian-based company that they are trying to bridge the gap for the 1.5 billion people in the world that can't afford adequate shoe wear.
Sure.
And foot-borne diseases are the second leading cause of death behind AIDS in the world. Kelly and I, my wife, we've been to several mission trips where to Haiti and to Costa Rica and several places where we've seen firsthand the poverty and the need there with, you know, 8-9-year-old kids that are walking around with plastic bottles tied to their feet just so they can protect them from the elements. So, you know, my racing nickname, Super Shoe. So, man, it was a natural fit, and I've always kind of felt called to be involved in a shoe charity, and this one fits, you know, like peanut butter and jelly, really. It's just it's a perfect symbiotic relationship with what they're using their resources to help me maybe try to sell races going forward through just a, you know, a kind of a way we can push the charity as well as get some companies some exposure. But it's been over and above anything I can ever dream of just this week and how much you know, how much people are willing to support. And I've had, you know, kids and people saying, man, I can't do much, so here's $10.
Sure.
Them giving me $10 is the same, who am I to say is the same, if not more, than what Dale Jr. gives $5,000.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those people are digging in and giving me they're sacrificing, just like I sacrificed a month worth of my salary to put Samaritan's Feet on the cart. Those 1,643 people all sacrifice something to provide for that need. Man, it's been unreal.
And Corey, for folks that are listening, what's the easiest way for them to help and donate to get this cause and get their name on your race car today at Watkins Glen? What's the quickest way for them to do that?
Yeah, so the link is on all my social platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Corey LaJoy. So go on there. The link's in all of my bios, or you can go to samaritansfeet.org/LaJoy. And then it's quick. It's a big box give now.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now. Very easy.
You stuff your credit card information on there, and then it'll pop up on my email feed, and I'm gonna be writing. Me and my wife gonna be writing names down up until I get in the car. And even after that, we're trying to put together a package through some local companies in Charlotte to do the Roval.
Okay.
To kind of the same deal. So if you don't make the cutoff for this race, I can promise you it won't go unforgotten. It's gonna be cataloged.
Yeah.
And it'll be in my little book where I have the 1,650 names now, with a line break saying Charlotte, right? And hopefully we can write this amount of many names on the card that race as well.
Well, hopefully your writer's cramp doesn't hold up your steering hands today, because you got to work right and left on that steering wheel today at Watkins Glen. What do you think about racing here at the Glen?
This will be my second time here. In a cup car, overall, man, I have very little. I probably have the least amount of road course experience in the field. It's hard, man. I never really had the opportunities to do that growing up. When I was racing the feeder series, K&N and ARCA, we never did any road course races. So 2 years ago at Watkins Glen, it was my first ever road course race in my life in a cup car.
Wow.
Well, my first ever road course race in my life was a Cup car. but, you know, good thing it's on live TV so everybody can watch me try to walk like a baby deer just born. So, excuse me. So, this will be my second time at Watkins Glen. I actually got it figured out halfway decent. The first race here, I'm being very conservative in practice just because our backup car certainly isn't as good as our primary.
Sure.
And I don't want to write 1,600 names again on our backup car. So I've been taking care of the primary all week. We had a little bit of a brake issue that we're trying to nail down and figure out what that was. So hopefully that doesn't reoccur in the race.
Sure.
And we just try to keep four tires on the asphalt and trying to stay in the lead lap and see what happens.
What part of the course has been the biggest challenge for you?
The whole thing. Yeah, the whole, as soon as I leave pit road, it's really a challenge until I come back on pit road. Everywhere else is pretty good. But, you know, I'm being very conservative in my braking points. I'm probably about 10 feet short or so, about a half car length where I really need to be, just because I'm a little bit tentative with the brakes. So we had some problems with the knockback of the pads. So hopefully they changed some stuff and made that not as bad, because, you know, when you go in there and you go to the complete edge of where you have to go in your brake zone, mm-hmm. and that pedal's soft for the first two pumps, you're already missing the corner. Mm-hmm. So I've been about a car length short, probably where I should be or I will be in the race if the brakes are where they need to be. And, you know, other than that, just trying to get the timing down and the flow of the S's up the hill. There's a lot of speed to be made there, so we'll see what happens.
NASCAR Cup Series driver Corey LaJoie joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Corey, of course, the son of Randy LaJoie, former Busch Series, now Xfinity Series champion. How's your dad doing these days, and how's the bit you kind of mentioned it, the business, the joy of seating? I can't go to any short track without seeing a joy of seating seat inside a race car. You guys got great business, but how's the family doing?
Yeah, man, Dad, that's obviously Dad's passion, is trying to keep local guys safe.
So, yeah.
We have a great product there. You know, the market of people buying race seats are getting smaller, and it's also not a consumable item, right? So if you buy a seat for your street stock, you're not going to need another seat for probably the rest of your life.
Sure.
So once we get everybody covered, then there's not a whole lot of reoccurring business besides just repairs or whatever else. So, but we make about 300-400 seats a year. We're starting to branch into wheelchairs. I'm about halfway done building a custom wheelchair for a guy who plays for the Charlotte Rolling Hornets and the basketball team.
Cool.
So that's my latest project, along with the other 9,000 things I got going on in my normal life. And then I just happen to drive cars on a weekend. So. Man, I got a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of stuff that's hopefully impacting a lot of people.
Chuck Hosfeld used to work for you guys, right?
Oh yeah, Chucky did. We've had a lot of good guys in and out of that shop.
Chuck just said he's retiring after this year from racing, supposedly.
Yeah, he says that. Then
right?
He'll show up to Lancaster or somewhere. You know, he ain't gonna hang it.
That's what I said. I said Roddy Piper retired from wrestling like five times. Mm-hmm. I he'll take a year. I know he's been doing a lot of traveling lately. Anyway, I see it all over his Snapchat, but I'm sure we'll see him back in a race car not too soon after this season.
Oh, yeah. No, Chucky won't be able to stay away from modified too long.
Speaking of modified racing, I mentioned this. We were talking about you coming on the show, but you built a trophy for us with the Race of Champions in the U.S. Open. Last year you did a phenomenal job on our Treichler Troyer Trophy, as we called it, for our five modified races last year. You did a great job. Where did you just come up with the inspiration on how to put that together last year?
That's another side project I do is I just build trophies for – I'm actually building probably 12 trophies right now for a buddy of mine, Greg, from Off Axis Paint. He paints a bunch of helmets.
Yeah.
He has a yearly go-kart race at GoPro Motorplex.
Yeah.
So he asked me to build the trophies every year, and we trade out some helmet paint, so it actually works out. So I build these little – they've been different every year. One year I built like a metal hand that's holding one of those little mini helmets for the winner's trophy, which was super badass. Last year I did something that lit up like some plexiglass, and then this year Centurion Boats is sponsoring the race, so I'm going to put a little wakeboard and boat on top of some water.
Cool.
And then we're doing a bunch of other stuff for the heat race winners and stuff. So I like building trophies. I like making cool stuff and just taking a bunch of, whether it's car parts or transmission parts, and making it look cool, like, you know, not just junk art, but actually making it flow nice. And, you know, obviously Maynard Troyer. And Jim Treichler, and was it Mark Treichler?
Mervin Rogers.
Mervin Rogers, sorry.
That's all right.
to build a trophy honoring those guys was really cool. And who won that race?
Patrick Emmerling won the trophy because it was a points deal. We kind of we had five ROC modified races at Lancaster last year, so we kind of kept track of points. And Patrick, who runs both ROC and NASCAR modifieds, he wound up with the trophy.
Okay, yeah, it ended up pretty cool. It was a couple, maybe four or five connecting rods. I cut out the numbers and put their numbers on there, and it was a pretty neat trophy.
I will tweet. I have a picture of that on file. I'll tweet that out after the break. But we're being told to wrap it up. Corey, thank you for stopping by. Race warnings are so busy. Good luck with your mission here with the Samaritan's Feet. Hopefully you get over 150,000 now, or you're almost there with 110,000. Again, just check out Corey on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter to donate. Best of luck today in the race. Thank you so much for the time, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Corey LaJoy, he's the driver of the Go Fast Ford, number 32. He'll be in the field today. And thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it. And does a lot of other stuff, apparently. Very talented young man, and he is going to be headed to get ready for today's race. We come back. We'll have Matt Tiff join us on the line coming up next year on Fast Track, live from Watkins Glen. And we're back here from Watkins Glen International, WGR's Fast Track. We're going to go right to the Western Hotline, though, and bring in the driver of the Maui Jim Sunglasses, number 36 Ford for Front Row Motorsports. Matt Tiff joins us on the line. Matt, it's Dave Buchanan here from the Media Center. Good morning. All right. Kyle, maybe make sure Matt's still there. Not hearing him at the moment. And unfortunately had him on hold there too long. We'll try and get Matt back on the line. But Matt is starting 26th today for Front Row Motorsports. And we hope to have him on here in just a minute. These drivers do have busy mornings, and we can't take up too much of their time. Unfortunately, we're just a little bit late getting to Matt. So we'll see if Matt will join us. But really great for Corey LaJoy to stop by. And I quickly jumped on here during the break and made a little pledge to Samaritan's Feet. Hope you do too. And I tweeted out that picture of the trophy Corey built for us last year for Lancaster for the modified season over at Lancaster. So that's on my Twitter feed at FastTrack550 if you want to check that out. Again, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. If you are maybe you're on your way to Watkins Glen, or maybe you're somewhere here on the property hanging out listening to us, feel free to chime in. We'd love to hear from you. We will be here until 12 noon coming up in the second hour of the program. You can continue to listen to us till 12 noon. Sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. Trying to communicate to people and guests while trying to talk on the radio is kind of complicated. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We'll be on until 12 noon today. Dave Moody going to join us in the second hour here. So is Nate Ryan from NBC Sports. Some big news out of the Cup Series this week already with the 48 team, Jimmy Johnson. Last week we talked about how Johnson struggles this year. Back-to-back 30th place finishes, taking him out of contention for the possibly the playoffs. He is fighting to make his way in. He starts today 12 points out of a playoff position behind Ryan Newman, and they had a major change with the 48 team as they changed crew chiefs on the 48 car this week as Kevin Mendiering was released from that position with the 48 team, and Cliff Daniels, who was an engineer on the 48 team previously, he has now been promoted to the top of the pit box, and he will be the crew chief today for the 48 car for Hendrick Motorsports, as Jimmy tries to make his way back into the postseason, does not want to miss the postseason for the first time in his Cup career. Amazingly, they did pick up a stage win last week over at Pocono, and just the second ever stage win for Jimmy Johnson, which is pretty amazing when you think about it, being a seven-time champion, but has not had the success in the playoff format, so to speak, as much as he racked up a lot of his championships in the beginning of the Chase era here in the Cup Series. And, since they've kind of gone to the playoff format, has most of his championships coming before the playoff era, and the stage era too, has been just these last couple of seasons. So Johnson will be with a new crew chief today here with the 48 car, and as they try to make their way into the postseason here in the Cup Series again. He is starting 12 points behind Ryan Newman on the bubble in 16th. 12 points up on Johnson. Daniel Suarez, 31 points, is 31 points out of a position is Daniel Suarez. And then you got Paul Menard, who is almost 70 points out. So he would need a break here with a win in these last few seasons, the last five races here in the regular season. Actually, it's a tie atop the bubble. Both Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman tied here with 532 points, so kind of a tie for the two bubble drivers coming into today's race at Watkins Glen. And if there's going to be a race where you know, you can get that upset win, of course it is here at the Glen. We've seen it over the years with the Marcus Ambroses and AJ Allmendingers pulling upset wins. With pit strategy today, you know, anything is possible. You look at some guys that could do it, someone like Matt DiBenedetto, who had a great run at Sonoma earlier this year. Chris Buescher, who we kind of heard there coming back from break. Buescher, of course, has had some great runs this year for JTG Doherty and a pretty good qualifying performance for him already this weekend. Buescher is in 21st in points, so he would need a win, but wouldn't be surprised. And even Michael McDowell, who we were supposed to have on the show today, but things didn't work out at the last minute. But Michael, of course, the road racing expert that he is, you know, wouldn't be surprised. If things play out, either strategy or just things get crazy with some wrecks here today, that one of those guys could sneak in and steal a win today and, you know, really put the squeeze on some guys that are trying to get in. You just take out one more driver. If you get one guy out of the 16 to win a race and bump and just tighten up that bubble picture. I mean, because really, you got Bowyer and Newman there on the bubble, and then you've got Jones and Larson. And if those two guys get some heat put on them, that could really make things interesting for these final five races here, the regular season, as we get here closer to the start of the playoffs over at Las Vegas Motor Speedway in September. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Apologize, we could not get to Matt Tiff this morning, but he is in the Maui Jim sunglasses, number 36 today for Front Row Motorsports. Saw some folks with his sponsor on their shirts as I came into the facility here this morning, was picking up my credentials, and just a great crowd already on hand here at Watkins Glen International. And as we were talking about earlier, great day for it. I mean, races start till after 3 o'clock today, so really, if you're probably listening to this show, you probably can make it here in time. Some seats are still available, whether reserved, and definitely they got some general admission seats still available. So if you've never been to the Glen, it is definitely just cool to come and witness it and see the experience of a NASCAR Cup Series race in person. If you can't get out here today, you know, make a note of it for future, because coming to one of these events is unlike anything else. It's really fantastic. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. That'll do it for hour number one here live from Watkins Glen International. Fast Track broadcasting live here from inside the media center. Coming up in hour number two, Dave Moody from the Motor Racing Network and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. He's going to join us right at the top of the hour. He just stuck his head in there over the last couple of minutes to say that he's on site and ready to go. Also, we're hoping to have Nate Ryan from NBC Sports, join us at the bottom of the hour, too. More to come, and we can take your phone calls, too, at 803-0550. You want to talk about today's race, Cup race at the Glen, Stuart Friesen's first career Truck Series win, or some of the great racing you've seen at a local track here over the last week or so. We've had some great racing indeed. More to come. We come back live from Watkins Glen here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.